What is up, everybody? My name is Christoph, and alongside me is...
Brianna. Hey, guys.
And this is Extra Normal Podcast, where we tell abnormal stories for these extra normal times. Brianna, how are you?
Great.
It's been a while.
It's your birthday.
It is my birthday. To give people some details, thank you so much for being patient with us. We were sick, so we did take... two or three weeks off, and we apologize profusely for that, and we are glad that you stuck around, and thank you so much for joining us back. We've gone around the corner. We're better. We had, I guess, the flu is probably most likely. No COVID, but
yeah, we tested negative for COVID. I know those tests like sometimes aren't accurate or whatever, but if I was a doctor, I diagnosed me,
doctor,
with the flu.
Yeah, I think that's what we both surmised. So we took that. It was
brutal,
gnarly. It was really gnarly.
This whole past 5 years of the COVID hysteria, I haven't gotten the flu once, and now the flu came back, and it came back with vengeance. I have to say, in my opinion, it was worse than COVID.
Personal experience is worse than COVID. Yeah, for me,
I think by the second or third day, that was the worst for me. I just started crying. I couldn't, the body aches. It was just so much pain. And I don't like taking a lot of Tylenol and aspirin and ibuprofen. It just was I just couldn't get enough of it. I just was in pain.
Yeah. I took so many drugs over that course of the sickness, and it was awful because I felt like I was in a haze. And then I was because I feel like all the drugs, because it was a lot of cold flu medication, it just dried me out. So I constantly mm-hmm. felt like I had cotton mouth. It was not fun.
Yeah.
Not fun. But here I am.
I'm glad it's behind us.
It's behind us. It's my birthday. We're recording on my birthday. So we seem to now be recording in holidays, Christmases and birthdays and that sort of thing. But here we are.
It's a special day.
We missed a lot of stuff too. I mean, we missed the plane that opened up. You heard about that one?
Yeah, someone's phone flew out and then they found it.
Yeah, Hasidic Jews building tunnels in New York. Did you hear about that one? We missed that one.
Oh no! We need to talk about this.
Yeah, I don't even know. Here we go. What we know about the Brooklyn Synagogue tunnel? And this is coming from, oh God, factcheck.org. So we'll see. I'm sure there's all kinds of conspiracy theories floating. So this is source, I guess. A long brewing dispute with this Hasidic Jewish group in Brooklyn boiled over when an unauthorized tunnel adjacent to a synagogue was discovered and ordered stabilized by New York City officials. Videos of the skirmish between some members of the group and city officials that ensued last week went viral on social media and quickly led to conspiracy-laden claims. For example, social media influencer Andrew Tate, who has a history of spreading misinformation, falsely claimed that the tunnel led to a children's museum. Okay. What? His post on X, so a conspiracy theory, said it led to a children's museum. But for some reason there was, and I'm still trying to make it because it all happened in the haze, and I saw tunnels discovered, and I saw that they, basically some Hasidic Jewish members of a synagogue built tunnels because they wanted.
How long ago were these? Have they been recently able to decipher? So they just built these.
Yeah, hold on. Let's see. Let's just read through it because let's discover this together because I'm confused as you are. Other social media posts had a similar tone, like a post on Instagram that included a video purportedly of the tunnel and asked, "Was this part of an underground pedophile ring?" Oh God! It always turns out to be that. People have been watching too many movies. I wouldn't be surprised if they dug a tunnel all the way to Epstein's Island. Okay. This is nine young men, members of the Hasidic group, were arrested on January 8th, the day the dispute over the tunnel broke out, but none of them were charged with anything related to human trafficking. According to an email from the New York City Police Department, all nine were charged with either criminal mischief and reckless endangerment or attempted criminal mischief and attempted reckless endangerment. It's so murky on what this fucking tunnel's for.
My guess? Do you want my guess? My opinion?
Rent's too damn high is my speculation.
No. I was going to say, just with all the political stuff going on and the wars going on in the world, I was thinking maybe and because New York is infamously known for having a large percentage of a Jewish population, maybe they felt that they needed an escape route.
Some safe haven.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
And I hate... I know people are probably like, oh, don't take their sides and da-da-da. But, I look at it more historically as people always trying to attack the Jews. It's been just biblically. And if I was Jewish, that honestly would be my... my inkling is just, maybe we need to have some of this in case we need to find a quick... And especially because it is under a synagogue.
It's it's the lead into the tunnel is part of a Hasidic synagogue.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, the people that were arrested, the 9 men and stuff, were part of the synagogue group and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's just also 2 people building a tunnel because it's, it's New York. It's wild. I was showing you
the Ninja Turtles
documentary. Yeah, I saw plenty of memes about that, and it's all confusing. I feel like now that we're so ingrained in weird stories and stuff like that, I feel like when we miss a couple weeks, I feel like there's all this bizarro stuff that happens that we just I can't keep track of. But I don't know. I mean, and it's even scary for me because it seems like dangerous territory to even try to figure out what it is, because like they were saying, it's full of conspiracy theories now, and it's full of memes and jokes. It's hard to suss out what the fuck's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But one other thing we missed was we missed a story about another streaker. Did you hear about that?
No.
Okay.
Where?
We'll bring it up.
Where?
Okay. It's a little stale. Sorry, guys. This episode's going to be a little bit of a time capsule on our fugue state in flu conditions. But let me read this first, because this is a story that caught my eye, and it's fairly recent. Exploding toilet at a Dunkin' store in Florida left a customer filthy and injured, lawsuit claims. And this is from AP News. A customer has filed a negligence lawsuit against Dunkin' Donuts, claiming that he was injured by an exploding toilet at one of the coffee chain's locations in Central Florida. He's seeking apparently $100,000 in a lawsuit filed on Wednesday, claiming he suffered severe and long-term injuries following the explosion of a toilet in the men's room of a Dunkin' Donuts location in West Park, Winter Park, Florida, a year ago. After the explosion left Keurig covered in human feces, urine, and debris, he walked out of the men's room seeking help from workers and the store manager. According to the lawsuit, an employee told him that they were aware of the problem with the toilet since there had been previous incidents, the lawsuit says, without diving into further details. So, can you imagine you're a Dunkin' Donuts employee and you walk out and one of the customers is just covered in all that?
I don't even know.
That's the day you quit, right?
I don't even know.
And apparently it was a known problem. How does a toilet explode?
I would
sue. Did he flush and then he's suing for $100,000?
Yeah. For sure, there's no, I'm not a sue person, but in this situation,
if you got injured from an exploding toilet, it's time to sue.
So there's, we did an episode of, this is totally off subject.
Okay.
But this is the one thing that I've been wanting to talk to you about.
I will not have tangents on this.
And I've sent you, I think, a couple of videos about it.
Oh, I didn't watch any of it.
You know how we did an episode on the Mandela effect?
Mandela?
Yeah.
Not the Modelo effect. That's on a weekend.
No, I didn't say Modelo.
Or did you? Did we just have a Mandela effect right now?
So there was a lady that was going completely crazy over this. And she would talk to her therapist about it every week. And the therapist was like, you got to stop talking about it. She's like, no, I know the Fruit of the Loom had the cornucopia.
Yeah, one of the most famous Mandela effects.
And so she sent out to prove it. She even went as far, which is hilarious.
But
did you know she went as far as started her own clothing line with the cornucopia on it to see if they would try to sue her? She was determined.
Really?
And so she went through thrift stores and friends and looked through all of her old clothes, and she finally found one.
Really?
Yeah. And oh, wait, I remember.
Hold on. So she found one with
a cornucopia on the Fruit of the Loom.
And it was verified that it was Fruit of the Loom?
It was Fruit of the Loom. It looked, it was like vintage Fruit of the Loom.
Okay.
So it started making me think, because I remember when you, when we did that, you were, you know, we made it a game and you're like, oh, what do you think mm-hmm. about this? And I'm like,
make everything a game.
I'm like, you know what? Like, I was like, I don't know why they would be slowly trying to like erase our memories of the past. It could be subtle things that the government is trying to do.
Yeah.
But I kind of believe it. Like I do. But what do
you mean? What do you mean? What do you think the Fruit of the Loom conspiracy is? What do you think they're
slowly, like I just said, they're trying to like see how can we like slowly erase memories of,
so
of
Fruit
the
of the Loom is on the government.
So maybe
take,
eventually maybe it'd be like a genocide or something like this never really happened. It was just all hearsay. People talked about it. It was mm-hmm. but it was like you know, you hear of like what do they call like a tale, like urban like legend. Myth? Urban legend, you know, maybe the quote unquote urban legends are real. Cause like I definitely think that what is it called? The little thing that the guy from Monopoly, I yeah. swore that he had that. I swore that he was wearing that.
But isn't that just like, I get that. I get the Mandela effect is like how our brains can deceive us and how maybe we build up something that was there and you know, all that stuff. But what's, I don't get the conspiracy theory behind it. I don't get what
like
the
said,
big
it could be something bigger.
Is.
Like maybe they're trying to.
I think our mind fucks with us.
I think they're trying to do little things to be like, oh, let's see how we can. We can just, and then like, we kind of like, oh, I thought it was like that. And then, you know, like when you told me about the Mandela effect, how do you say it?
Mandela.
Mm-hmm. When you told me about that for the first time, I had never heard of it. And then I started like seeing videos on it and people seeing the same thing. And then I started like seeing these like anti videos. And I just thought like, cause once you told me that, I was like, oh my gosh, I was wrong. And I didn't think twice about it. Other than like scratching my head when you told me that moment. But even after that, it wasn't like I sat and dwelled on it until the conspiracy theories came of people saying the opposite.
Yeah, I think also, too, well, I
like
think.
Like even have you heard that one with the Shazam movie?
No. Oh, that someone else, a different actor was in it and it wasn't, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, the actor, what is his face?
From is the 90s. Sinbad versus.
Sinbad says that it never happened. And it was just like, we all know this Shazam movie had Sinbad in it. And then like they were saying like you couldn't find the VHS or, you know, wherever like the movie. And so it was just like weird stuff like that. Like, and why would Sinbad say that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that,
and then
know.
Some people were saying because there's conspiracies in the movie about stuff. So they were kind of like, maybe they want to like, leave it because I don't know if it opens up other can of worms, but I don't know. I was just thinking about that. Like, what do you think about that?
About the fact that it's like some grand scheme, the Mandela effect?
Well, like, yeah. Like the stuff that you thought, like even like the Berenstain Bears, like it doesn't make you kind of think twice and hey, maybe somebody is trying to mess with our memories or whatever. Cause what we conceived as children and what we always thought, and then all of a sudden here we are in our 40s and it was like, no, that was really this. Like, it's kind of a little bit like, okay, yeah, I know that my brain is diminishing as we speak, you know, as we get
about
older.
A second for me, yeah.
But there's things that nostalgically, like you remember it's always been.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it plays to, I don't think it's a grand scheme. I think that it plays to, like, for instance, like one of the things that popped out to me just because of its like it's being rooted in nostalgia is the Star Wars thing with C-3PO and the silver leg or whatever.
Yeah.
And Fruit of Loom, like as an example too, is like that maybe that there was one with a cornucopia and it just all stuck out in our brain. But then the corporate for Fruit of Loom changed it and then like everybody forgot. And then they were like, oh no, I remember that cornucopia thing. And everybody's like, it's just the thing because nobody could find it now.
Yeah.
I think it's in the silver leg thing for C-3PO was like,
the silver
yeah,
leg
it was in the movie, but
so
all the
subtle.
Merchandise, it was subtle and all the merchandise ended up being all gold, I'm sure, because yeah. of fucking a price point, like the toy manufacturers, it was easier for them to make it all gold.
Yeah.
So it's like that kind of stuff. I don't think it's a grand, I have trouble finding it to be like a grand conspiracy, a grand scheme to warp our memory. I think it's weird. And I think that there's definitely been like propaganda moments where, you know, governments have said, oh yeah, no genocide. That never happened. Mm-hmm. Just kidding. That never happened. Like, especially, like there's throughout history, there's been a cleansing of history for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's like the Mandela effect is like the testers. I don't think it's testing the waters. I think, you know, they do that through propaganda and they know pretty well without doing it through the Mandela effect.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. And now it makes me really, when somebody tells me, oh no, it was this, it wasn't that, I'm like thinking twice.
Yeah. Is there a memory service? I have trouble latching onto the Mandela effect as like more than an interesting kind of thing. It doesn't grab me enough as it should, I guess.
I think, I don't know. Just like when you were telling us about it, like there's so many people that we all saw the same things in the 90s.
Sure, of course.
The 80s. And so it's just weird that we would all be wrong. And that's where I'm like, something, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that is kind of leading up towards a bigger something. And it's like, well, no, like, remember, it's like the Mandela effect, you know? Like, no, it's always been this way. You just, you know, and you start to like, again, my mind must have been playing tricks on me.
I don't doubt that someone, like some government, would use it as an excuse. Like, oh, just Mandela effect. Like, you guys are just imagining things. I don't doubt that. I just don't know how much weight it'll hold. So yeah, I was able to pull this up of the Alabama man who shocked shoppers with X-rated plunge into Bass Pro Shop aquarium. You know, these Bass Pro Shops, they're those giant super centers of just everything. And part of it is they have a giant aquarium. Mm-hmm. And just someone was inspired by a Small World boy. And he just, one of the customers decided to take a cannonball plunge into the giant aquarium full of.
Did somebody videotape it?
Oh, of course.
Oh, man, I didn't see it.
Of course.
Why haven't I seen
it? And he just.
Naked?
Just butt naked in the aquarium, Bass Pro Shop.
Wow.
I'm surprised someone hasn't done that before.
How
just
do
jumped
you
in.
Get him out?
I don't. It doesn't. Let me see if it says how they actually. That's a really good question.
Because you know what I mean? If he's just like swimming in the water, I mean, how do you get him out?
Oh, I didn't know it was this involved. So apparently the dude crashed his car outside of the Bass Pro Shop in Alabama, stripped down to his birthday suit, and plunged into the giant aquarium inside the store, police said. The ordeal happened Thursday night on that. It was a few weeks ago at this point. But Thursday night in front of shock shoppers in town just outside Birmingham, Leeds Police Chief Paul Irwin said. The 42-year-old Alabama man did a
cannonball. Your age.
I know. Kindred spirits. The 42-year-old man did a cannonball leap into the aquarium and then stood under a waterfall. He left the water to yell at two officers and dove back into the aquarium, police said. The man eventually climbed over the side of the aquarium and fell to the concrete floor below. Police then apprehended him, the news site AI.com reported. Okay. He faces several charges, including public lewdness, disorderly conduct, and criminal mischief. Criminal mischief is such a fun charge. The man was in the water for about 5 minutes before officers arrived, Irwin said.
Oh, that's it.
That's okay. It. So he took a quick plunge.
Dang, he could have been in there for a long time.
He could have, like, if he didn't hop out, he could, I mean, if I was a police officer, I wouldn't jump in. I just let him ride it out. Swim with the fishes as long as until you get tired. Mm-hmm. And if you start drowning, then we'll figure it out. But I wouldn't jump in for him for fucking sure. Nasty ass aquarium with fish.
Oh my God.
You think that guy got a disease?
No.
From the fish water? Because it's not, it's an aquarium. It's not like a pool.
I'm sorry, the ocean is fucking disgusting.
I know, but it's like circulating, right? Isn't it like a giant aquarium?
No, aquariums, they have to keep it circulating.
I guess
if it's stagnant water, yeah, no.
You think he's safe? You think he's not going to get one of those flesh-eating bacteria diseases?
No, that would be too fun.
It'd be too, too justified.
Crazy.
I think
can't believe I haven't heard about that one.
I wonder if that's do you think that's going to become a trend now that we have Small World, we have Bass Pro Shop?
Maybe.
Because people were inspired.
I mean, I feel like what, in the 90s, like there was like a streak. I know all me and all my friends used to go streaking.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe.
Yeah, but that was like, that before wasn't as.
Before social media, before everybody had cell phones.
Sure.
So, but I think back then people would have been videotaping if they had.
Completely different world. Like you run streaking now and it's going to be caught. All over the place on. Not only like cell phone shots, yeah. Like CCTV.
People won't do that shit anymore. Unless, yeah, like situations.
Unless they're just off the rails.
Mentally ill. But yeah, we would dare each other and just fucking do it.
Where would you even do it?
Down the, where we used to live in Chino.
Oh, like just down the streets? Like in the middle of the streets?
Yeah. We literally just, me and my friends and my brother too. Like we'd all, we just put sheets around us and then we just like, oh, and it was. Great.
It's freeing.
And then when we would go to like summer camps, mm-hmm. we'd go like sneak out and go in the river and lakes nude. Like we've even done it, like I did it like in my grandma's swimming pool too with my friends.
You know? Sure.
So.
But was it all like I guess with like there's a kindred. Like I've never been the type. I don't think. Any of my closest friends have ever seen me nude.
It's funny because it's not, I never looked at my friends.
But still, I think you kind know, of like,
it's kind of like a respect thing. Like we're all doing this.
Yeah.
Like you stay in your lane, I'll stay in mine. And we did it.
Eyes forward.
But I mean, think about the neighbors, like, and we were friends, you know, with all of our neighbors.
Sure.
Like, so, I mean.
Sure.
No one ever said, hey, we saw you guys.
I saw you in the pool.
And it's not even like if we were smart, we could have went to the green belt. Because remember there was like that area where there was a playground?
Yeah, you were just
We
like,
literally just did it down the street. Okay. Everybody's houses.
Oh, my God.
With big windows. Yeah, so like back then it was a thing everybody did. And then you would see it occasionally.
We're going streaking.
Didn't we? Weren't we at a crazy cat? Were we... were we at a was it a soccer game and somebody went streaking one time?
That happened.
Or he was like in his underwear. I feel like we were at one of those, but they yeah. got him off. He like ran and he like
yeah, that happens quick, for sure. You know? Like the streaking in a like at sporting events is pretty common.
Yeah.
This new like almost like quasi amusement park streaking is pretty fresh.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we would ever, like...
So you and your friends never had gone streaking?
No. Oh. No.
So that movie with Will Ferrell when he's like, we're going streaking, was it called Old School or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, that, like, resonated so much with us because we used to do that.
Like, I can't picture a world where that would have happened. Like, it's weird. Maybe it's a guy-girl thing because was it all girls or was it
My
girls?
My brother!
But it's your brother, like girls like, and guys though?
I mean, he had friends. Yeah, no, his friend Jeff, like,
okay.
His friend Jeff was very, like, had a crush on one of my friends,
oh, okay.
Like Mr. Rocker, guitarist, like, yeah, like, I mean, he yeah, didn't even give a fuck.
Yeah, I mean,
but
that
we
age.
Were just, yeah, and I feel like, you know, like, yeah, we just didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But it was also like, I feel like people were doing it. Like,
it was more common for sure.
That people were doing it.
Yeah. Maybe we were just too fucking dorky, me and my friends, to do that.
I don't know. I feel like doing it is kind of dorky.
It's a little dorky, but like, it's kind of.
It's exhilarating, though.
It also takes like a certain level of confidence.
Yeah.
You know, that I don't think that at that age, especially, I don't think I had. I still have struggled with confidence. So, congratulations, you did it.
Happy birthday.
Let's go streaking. We're going streaking.
I want you to know. No, you have been. You've been in a nude, like, TMI. You've been to nude beaches, so.
Yeah, but that's different.
And you were very confident.
I was confident?
Yeah.
I was comfortable.
I was the one that was very uncomfortable in the beginning. It's like once you rip off the bandage, just like streaking, you're fine. But yeah. It's like until you really are just like, oh. And you totally get naked. It's really like
it's that moment,
and you get in your head about it. Like I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. Like everybody's watching. Oh my God, I have a weird shaped vagina.
I'm sorry.
Like you just all these ideas go through your head. What if they're staring at me? Do I look funny? Like is there something wrong with my boobs? Like, it just all the stuff goes through your head, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, anyways, I don't.
But you're going to go streaking now. That's
yeah. We're going streaking. Birthday. We're going streaking for my birthday.
Birthday weekend.
The joys. Yeah, no, I missed out on that. Could you imagine if I called up all like my old like high school buddies? I'm like, guys, I know it's been a while since we've talked, but we really missed out on this whole thing. Let's go streaking. Bunch of like 40 something. It's like living it up all of a sudden.
I could see, I can imagine you guys as like in your friend group, like somehow getting in trouble doing like you would be the ones that would get caught because it's like you would want to like you'd probably be screaming the loudest
probably
to really get somebody to call the cops on you, you know, and like I get just your streaking would be taken to like the next level.
That's
like,
the thing is we were kind of wild.
I know, that's why, but I'm it like
never
surprised
involved, you know, like
getting naked.
I've never seen any of my friends peni
and that's surprising too because I know like growing up, that's a guy's thing. They like compare
their dick sizes. Not yeah. me. Never.
I don't know. That seems, yeah.
It's very bizarre.
What guys did.
I feel sheltered now. How do we get on this? This is a weird episode back.
Streaking. I just think about talking about streaking and weird, you know, like social media and just how times have changed where people don't streak anymore.
No. I mean, it still has to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it happens and then you're just like, oh, it's going to show up on the internet. And that's party like the thing.
Yeah.
It's almost like the same kind of feeling. I could get caught. It's like, oh, yeah, this might show up on the internet.
It's just so different because even I found not too long ago, and I don't even know if I've ever showed it to you, but like I was organizing, looking through like old pictures, and I had some from like when I was in beauty school.
Uh-huh.
And like me and my friends, and these were like friends I did not know that well.
Yeah.
You know, we were friends in beauty school and we became friends, but we would do shit like we would be topless at each other's houses. Mm-hmm. Well, mostly not at my house because my mom and my fucking brother.
I can't picture that happening.
But like at my friend's house, like after beauty school, I went over for a few hours and hung out with her. And we just decided to get whipped cream and make whipped cream bras on our boobs. And it was like...
As you do.
And it was like nothing like sexual.
Sure.
And we took pictures. And I found pictures of me and this girl. Uh-huh. And she's like pretending to like lick my boob. But it was like platonic. It was just like us being stupid.
Fucking.
And so I don't know, maybe just like
beauty school people.
I don't know. And we weren't like on drugs. I mean, we might have been smoking, but like I think it was just, I don't know, like maybe girls with their bodies are just different than guys.
I think
for me to be like topless and then like letting her make a bra on my boobs and not feeling any type of way about it, like sure. You know,
I don't like there is like definitely like I feel like I am an anomaly. Like I'm not trying to, because you hear about dudes just like putting their balls on each other's like head and shit like that. Yeah. I was never that guy for whatever reason.
You just used to pee on people's trucks and
yeah, but
and
that
shit
was
on
like,
people's trucks.
No, I wasn't the one shitting, but yeah, I don't know. That was a different time.
Yeah,
I missed out. I was sheltered. I sheltered in my own head.
Oh my God. Sheltered because of yourself. I was a very sheltered.
I never got
the
tea,
problem
I never got
with
the tea
sheltered
bag anybody.
Kids that grow up extremely religious end up doing the shit that I did. Because if I even told my mom half the stuff that we did, like she'd be mortified.
How much does your mom know?
She knows a good percentage because I just like, I make fun of her, but I tell her like, you know, you were right about a lot of stuff and we got into a lot of trouble and she gets mad at me still to this day, like, you know, but yeah, we really, I should have been in probably juvie for sure.
Really? For what? Streaking? Criminal mischief?
We used to steal Boone's Farms. I would wear like baggy, like my overalls, and I would just like tuck my jeans into my socks.
Yeah.
And just drop like, and there was bottles. I would steal like bottles at a time. And we go from one liquor store to the next.
Yeah.
And so like just, and I it wasn't even like, obviously like, you know, we didn't have a lot of means growing up with like a single parent, but like, we would steal stuff for fun, you know?
Sure.
And it was like, and it was like that song. What is it? Is it by Violet Femmes? Who's it by? Porno for Pyros. What's that? I got caught stealing.
Jane's Addiction.
Jane's Addiction. I always get the voice mixed up.
I think the guy from Jane's Addiction is in Porno for Pyros.
Okay, So like that song was just like, yeah, we just did it. And we would just do it. If we just wanted something and we didn't want to pay for it, we would just fucking steal it. And it was like so funny because it's like, it was almost like a game that we would play. And it was never like super expensive stuff, but yeah, it would be like alcohol because we were underage. It would be, you know, like patches because it was really cool to put them on your bomber jackets and just like stupid candy, you know, stuff like that. But me and my friends, like, yeah, we were little kleptos just for fun. So it's like, I don't know, kids just...
I almost got popped for stealing alcohol.
Really?
Yeah, I was the getaway guy and they...
Oh,
they,
you had the truck?
I had the truck and they jumped in the back of the truck and they... Yeah, I got ID'd and stuff like that, but somehow I wiggled my... I don't even remember
little
how
cop
the fuck...
got you?
they tagged the license plate. And I don't even remember how I avoided not getting popped on it.
They must have jumped out of your truck or something.
They jumped in the bed of my truck and then we took off. And then maybe because I wasn't completely aware of like exactly what was going to go down. So the intent wasn't mm-hmm. all there. But I knew it was happening and I somehow I avoided getting fucking popped on.
Yeah.
I could have been a criminal.
Yeah.
I could have, then that could have led me down the way of streaking. That could have led me down the wrong path. Yeah, I don't know. This is rocked my brain that this is like a common thing. And I've never really thought about it too much, but a common thing that I just, oh well, what are you going to do?
Yeah. There wouldn't have been like one of my friend groups. And I had like, cause I went through different phases, like, especially in beauty school, like I hung out with a lot of different, but there wouldn't have been one group that I would be like, no, like I'm not going to go streaking with you guys. It would like
any group.
It was just like free. Like, let's be free.
Sure. Teenagers.
Yeah.
Especially in Chino. There's not a lot to do.
Just be naked with the cows.
That's cow shin and titties. Can we join MUFON?
Yeah,
I feel like I'm so far removed from all these UFO sightings now. I don't get.
And I, to be honest with you, I'm not on TikTok. I'm not on social media like I used to be. So like this short period of time when I do go on it, it's like ooh, and I'm like overly stimulated because I get so much information at once. And I know if I was maybe more consistent about going on, but I just feel like God, like social media just really sucks the life out of you and. All the negative stuff that's on there. And
there's
I just find myself just not enjoying life as much. So I try to keep it light and not go on as often. So if we did join MUFON, it would be better because it would just be that. That would be the only thing.
Yeah.
That would straight we could from, choose straight when to read it and open, you know, the videos and documents and things like that. So yeah, I think we should.
Is Ancient Aliens still a thing anymore?
For me, it is.
Yeah, but I are love they having watching it. New episodes at all, or is that a
there's
thing?
Was like yeah, the newer one was where they're around the table. Remember?
Yeah, they're now just recapping the whole entire show.
Yeah,
they're just recapping shit. Okay, so we can probably join an event. Ooh, you can report a UFO or report an abduction or a non-human contact. Did you ever try to officially do that one sighting you saw on the official MUFON?
Did I ever try to do what?
The report when you thought you saw the UFO.
No.
You should have made an official report.
I still log can. It. Yeah.
I'm literally filing a report on your behalf as we speak. UFO
you
sighting.
Better do all the
anonymous?
No, I'm saying you better put in all the fucking details then.
I don't remember the details.
Well, then how are you even going to
I was not paying attention. I'll just figure it out.
You weren't even, yeah. You were there, but you weren't looking up at the sky.
No, not like you. Sighting, abduction, You know, we don't really do that often, and we should probably
get abducted.
Yeah, that'd be fun. We should do that more often. Is like crypto stuff. Like, we'd never really have we ever, we'd never done an episode on Bigfoot. That's what I want for my birthday.
Right now?
Not now. Fuck that. I'm not prepared. But an episode on Bigfoot. What are you watching?
I want to talk about this.
What is it?
It's, hold on. Let's listen to
it. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold up.
And why cover up dragons? It's the same reason why they lied to us about all of our history.
What? I was unaware of their. Who lied about dragons?
Shh. Short generations ago, as they say, it only takes a few generations to completely erase our knowledge of our true history.
Modelo effect.
Modelo effect, for sure. Drink a couple Modelos, you see dragons.
Until next time.
So, you know, I was talking to like one of my clients. She's Korean.
Okay.
And I just genuinely, like, me and her, like, have known each other a very long time, can be very comfortable about asking stuff about cultures, and just we genuinely don't know. And so I told her, I said, I know in Chinese culture, the dragon is very symbolic and very powerful. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like the dragon really existed at some point in history.
Yeah.
In China. And I asked her, I go, in Korea, and in Korean culture, is that a belief? Is that like all of Asia? Is that, you know? And she said, we do like think of a dragon as like a strong symbolization in our culture. Mm-hmm. So then I went further to ask her, do you believe that dragons existed? And she was just like, she's like, I don't know, like maybe like a dinosaur, like kind of a thing. And yeah, and I think maybe you can put, a dragon in the same kind of boat as a dinosaur.
It would. I mean, if it were a real creature, it would be dragon like scales.
But I 100% believe they existed. I believe that they could breathe fire. I think just like in this little clip that I was just watching that you know, I don't understand why dragons are taken out of history. And also I believe maybe our perspective of a dragon is something different, and maybe it was a UFO. Maybe we saw a fiery chariot and people didn't know how to explain what it was. And they would talk about how humans would enter through their mouth or exit through the mouth of the dragon. Maybe it was just some of device. You haven't heard that?
No, I've never heard that. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Like when people would explain like, thousands of years ago when they would enter, I think there's like a story from China, like, the yellow dragon or whatever. Like maybe that was just like an entrance, you know, and it wasn't a real dragon, but it was like, okay. They didn't know how to like, explain what they were seeing.
It was a flying thing.
Yeah. So they thought it must've been some kind of like monster, you know, reptile.
But how long ago, like, I guess where the rubber meets the road, because you know, skeletal evidence is hard to find, and I don't know what the motive for a cover-up would be. I'm not quite sure what that would be. Like, how far back do you think they existed? I think the possibility is there, because there's so many legends and so many tales and so many myths that in some form that there could have been dragon-like creatures for sure. But the part that's hard to parse out is how long ago, right? Like, if it were in medieval times, you figure there would be more like
bones,
something a little less than like, you know, dragon tales and stuff like that. In terms of, when I say tales, I mean like myths. That's the part that's hard. When the rubber meets the road is like, how long ago are we talking dragons existed?
Yeah.
Like last decade, in the 1970s, where they're, last decade, that wasn't, like old, like 1950s where there were dragons flying around and people were covering it up? Like, how long ago were dragons around? Can you imagine?
Well, like, maybe, yeah, some of those castles that were melted, maybe it wasn't a fire. Maybe they were burnt down by dragons.
By dragons? Is there dragons in European medieval lore? And I guess we need to do
research on it. All over the world.
I know all over the world, for sure. But is there, like, there's a lot of, like, oh, the dragons ages ago came in fire, and this is why this stone is the way it is. But is there, like, hey, is there a tale in Europe of, like, a knight saying, yeah, yesterday I hung out with my dragon buddy? Like, there's not that, right?
No.
It's always back in time.
And it's always, like, a war with the dragons.
Sure.
You know, it's like fighting. I think
you're thinking about Game of Thrones.
No, but that's, like, kind of, like, just throughout history, it always seems like that they're dragon slayers, you know? Like, people are fighting off the dragons. Like, all the, like, what Lord of the Rings movie, they're fighting a dragon, you know?
Smaug in The Hobbit, who's stealing all the gold.
Yeah, so it's really fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that one of those creatures that you really, like, how high on the list is that for creatures you wish actually existed? Like, let's say, you know.
It would, like,
concrete
petrify me. I would not want to be in existence with a dragon. Like,
like, if you're face to face with a dragon.
Yeah. I feel like living in fear. It's funny because we live in fear for so many other reasons, but, you know, we have human beings that are monsters, but to have this being that would, you know, like, hurt us and just all of a sudden fly by our house and light it on
fire.
You know what I mean? Like, it's scary. I mean, as cool as they would be, you know, you hear stories that the dragons could talk and all this kind of stuff. I don't believe that. But that would be kind of cool.
Made up.
I mean, if they were like Puff the Magic Dragon, that would be different.
But, like, gentle giant dragon.
But I don't think that would, I don't think we could coexist in harmony with the dragon. So,
yeah, I don't think, well, I mean, if they were wise, I think maybe we could in some way. I don't know.
If they minded their own business, you know, we kind of, we stuck to our own.
If the dragon followed the HOA and made sure that everything was kosher, they'd be fine. Yeah, I don't know. That's one of those creatures that would be so cool to find, like, a skeleton of.
I'm sure that they have.
You think so?
Yeah. I'm sure they have, and it's just like all the stuff with.
Are pterodactyls just dragons?
I was thinking that too, but I feel like probably the flying dinosaurs are fucking dragons, and they won't list it as that.
Dinosaurs? Like, just all flying dinosaurs? I'm all sure.
Yeah.
Well, can't we just start calling pterodactyls, like, dragons, and we're done? Dragons really exist.
They don't want to do that. Like, for again, why are they hiding it? We don't fucking know.
But is it a hiding, or is it just, I think
it is hiding, because it's gone through history. Like, why? Well, they talk about it. Just like all the,
I think it's more,
all the fucking gods in Hinduism. Like, there's all these gods, you know, and they don't look at that as like their religion was fake, you know. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, but to me, like, the gods in, like, Hinduism are as real as like Athena and Greek mythology. Because I don't look at, like, Greek mythology. I think there's some, like, truth to it, you know?
There's grains of truth behind it.
And the gods were so human-like with all the drama that it was just like, they're, like, so relatable that I'm like, when did these were, like, strong religions in you know, in Greece, and then in the Roman Empire when they, you know, adopted the religion as well. And then all of a sudden it just became a myth, you know?
Well, it's whatever culture dominates.
But then there's Hinduism that has been around much longer.
Sure.
And, I mean, they've stayed true. And even though they don't see their thousands of gods that they have on a daily, but it's still very strong. So I don't know.
It's all cultural. It's all fragmented. It's all sometimes to the victors. Yeah. I think that in terms of, to speak to the scientists, not labeling a pterodactyl dragon, I think it's a lot of, like, I don't think it's a grand scheme from scientists. I think it could be chalked out to like scientists being reluctant to change their viewpoints and being kind of stuck in.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like adding the feathers to some of the dinosaurs.
It took a while for scientists to turn around on that.
All of us, when I remember when I read that article and even when I told people, they were like mind blown that like, what?
Yeah.
We always thought they looked like reptiles.
And someone proposed that and a bunch of scientists were probably like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, get the fuck. And then eventually it kind of got proven out. So it's all shifting. Yeah.
But I would love for them to find a species they've never been able to discover. And for them to be like, we 100% believe it's a dragon. Like that would be fucking.
Could you imagine?
So cool. I want to be alive during that.
Yeah. Cause the thing about pterodactyls, obviously they're not like the dragons of the myths that we saw. We would just be labeling a pterodactyl as a dragon because it would be fun to do that. But if they found like what was very similar to what you see in Eastern tales and in some European tales in terms of dragon myths, that would be such a monumental shift in like how we perceive myths, right? Mm-hmm. It would be even more than like some of the science breaking stuff, like, oh, there's no fucking Troy, that was all myth, and then they found a fucking Troy. Mm-hmm. Like that kind of shit. Like if we found a dragon skeleton and they somehow surmised that it was super similar to whatever the myths that were floating out there in whatever region, that would break a lot of how we view myths.
I think it's gonna happen.
You think so?
Yeah. I think that we I feel like we need that.
Yeah. Shake it up.
You know?
Let's discover it. Could you imagine? And then we would start talking about whether dwarfs were real, like the medieval, like Dungeons and Dragons. Elves are real.
Yeah. We should definitely bring an Irish person on the podcast because like they like, really truly
superstitious about elves for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like good thing. And that ties in with the like leprechauns and like sure. They were like kind of like elf like creatures and mischievous, and then they have the mounds that like they're like sacred to them, so they do not touch these mounds because every time they do, bad luck happens, and they mm-hmm. truly believe this. And I've read and I've like listened to different Irish people talk about it, how they will not fuck with them. And then the one or two times that they did, bad luck on like all their family. I'm like, wow, like, you know, but they never come out, but it's almost like they don't want to like bother them. They don't want to get them razzled, you know, piss them off. So it's really fascinating.
Americans don't have a lot of that stuff. We don't have a lot of that like elf mythology. Like because they're so fresh.
I think that would be so cool.
Is there maybe our equivalent is Indian burial grounds? Because you always hear about Indian. Yeah. That's our superstition. Yeah. Oh, did you build that building in an Indian burial ground? Oh, you're gonna have bad luck. Yeah. It's like that's our equivalent of superstition. I mean, Americans are plenty superstitious, but we don't have a lot of original ideas.
Yeah, true.
We gotta get a fresh American superstitions. Maybe we do like one of those serious podcasts about American superstitions.
We should.
That's going to involve a lot of research.
Like Europeans would want to hear that, like, you know, because people get so obsessed with like American cultures, and not obsessed like, oh, we're so great, but more like these fucking Americans, like this is what they believe. So I feel like we should do that because there's a lot of stuff that we do that people don't even know about.
People don't understand.
They will probably never understand.
Poor Americans.
Yeah.
Are we the worst terrorists, Americans?
Yeah.
Are we?
Because we just have it so easy here. Because it's stupid because America made gluten and all this crap that they add to their foods and preservatives. So for all the people that like have these intolerance, you know, to all that, they're scared to go and eat in different countries because of all the stuff that we've fucked them up with their whole life.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that's banned in like fucking Europe that we just consume on a daily basis.
What does that tell you? I'm telling you, they're trying to kill us.
It proves that we're the land of the fucking free.
You know,
gluten is the way to go.
Like we're all overweight because of all this stuff in food.
Yeah.
And so Europeans are just like, well, what are you doing?
Well, I saw something where it's like why there was like this is what I found online for what it's worth. But they're like, why is it like French culture is so big on cheese and bread and stuff like baguettes and stuff like that. And they say that one of the reasons why it's much healthier over in, like, say, for instance, France, is because it's water, flour, and yeast, essentially. Mm-hmm. Because everything's fresh baguettes and you cut it up and stuff like that. In America, we're all about our fucking American sliced bread. And to make that bread stay, quote unquote, fresh, mm-hmm. like, there's so much stuff pumped in there to make that bread stay soft, to make that bread. So it's just
make it last like 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, the shit we pump into our food is disgusting.
It's just crazy that, like, we are at a point where we know where we did wrong. Like, we know, like, okay, we should not be doing this anymore. And these companies, million-dollar companies, they just don't give a fuck. They don't. They'll cut
another corner.
Yeah, they do not want to help us because they do not want to lose their cushy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So they're like, I'm sure that they don't eat it. You know.
You know about the whole, was it Mountain Dew?
Oh yeah. Mountain Dew was?
It was not Mountain Dew. Sorry, Sierra Mist. Right, Sierra Mist was a drink that people used to have. It was like a Sprite equivalent.
I thought it was like a Mountain Dew, no?
No, it's more of a Sprite. It was like, it was Pepsi's version of Sprite. Mm. And they, it was been on forever. And then Pepsi Company announced that they're going to have a new beverage, right? That's going to replace, Sierra Mist is going to be discontinued because we're going to have a fresh start, right? Where this is going to be a slate. Clean, and we're going to have a new marketing campaign because we really want to compete with the Sprites of the world and the 7-Ups of the world or whatever. Sierra Mist was made with real cane sugar. Mm-hmm. Guess what Starry is made with? High fructose corn syrup. So the conspiracy is they eliminated Sierra Mist to avoid using actual sugar anymore and to switch over to the nasty high fructose corn syrup.
Oh wow. Because isn't
welcome that, Starry to the world.
Isn't that like more addictive too?
High fructose corn syrup is more addictive, it's more sweet, it's worse for you. The big difference though for companies is it's cheaper to make and it's more addictive because you get that dopamine, like, of the sugar rush because it's a sweeter.
It's like literally what we were just talking about. Like every company is cutting corners, like,
sure,
you know, like when we drink Starbucks, it's like we half the time don't even enjoy it. More than half the time, I would say. I couldn't tell you last time I genuinely enjoyed a drink from Starbucks and was this was amazing, you know. And so it's like,
I'm gonna lose out on that lucrative Starbucks sponsorship, but it's fine, keep going.
You just, the quality isn't, it used to be, I used to love Starbucks.
Used to be all about it.
Like anywhere we went.
Multiple times
a day. I remember in fucking Italy, of all places, I'm like, where's Starbucks? I need a Starbucks, you know? And like, now I'm like, oh, God.
Worst tourists ever, the Americans.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. not anymore. I'm like, give me that small ass cappuccino.
Dinky cup. Yeah, like, where it's like straight, I want espresso.
I'd rather enjoy that than chemicals that and Starbucks, you know? So, and, you know, and even at the restaurants, like, you know, something that we ordered tonight was not up to par for how we had it, like, maybe like 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
And so it's just stuff like that where we're just like noticing prices are going up, but quality is 100% going down.
Sure.
Or in Italy, I feel like, you know, or Europe in general, prices are reasonable.
Sure.
And the quality of the food's amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's like, The demise of it is like the idea behind all these, especially Starbucks. Starbucks is a publicly owned corporation. And so they always have to prove to their investors or stockholder how they're either getting more profits year over year. They can't just have a year where like, we made the same amount as last year. Yay, we did it. Like everybody, they always have to be making more money by either profit margin, or cutting costs. Like it's this constant hamster wheel that we live in corporate America, where you have to constantly, you can't be stagnant in that world. Like a Starbucks, they can't just be like, yay, we made as much money as we did last year. That was profitable. We all did great, right? They have to be like, oh, we cut costs by going with the cheaper milk this year and we saved 2 cents per cup or whatever. Now look, our profit margins are even better. Like, please invest in our stocks and that. it's just an insane hamster wheel that is just making life miserable. It's making fucking life miserable. And
let's move to Ireland.
People like it. It's pretty.
Yeah. No, I know that there's like programs where they're trying to get like Americans to move over there.
Oh yeah.
I'd be down. I mean, at least we speak the same language.
Sometimes it's a little hard to decipher with the accents. Depending on where you're
from, but.
Yeah, it's better than Scotland or Wales. Those accents are rough to understand. Rough. Well, this has been another cheery episode of Extra Normal Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on all the social medias at Extra Normal Podcast. Email us at extranormalpodcast@gmail.com for any comments, questions, or concerns. And thank you so much for listening.